هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا، الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد أرسلنا إلى ثمود أخاهم صالحا أن يعبدوا الله فإذا هم فريقان يختصمون. قال يا قوم لم تستعجلون بالسيئة قبل الحسنة لولا تستغفرون الله لعلكم ترحمون. قالوا اطيرنا بك وبمن معك، قال طائركم عند الله بل أنتم قوم تفتنون. وكان في المدينة 9 رهط يفسدون في الأرض ولا يصلحون. قالوا تقاسموا بالله لنبيتنه وأهله ثم لنقولن لوليه ما شهدنا مهلك أهله وإنا لصادقون. ومكروا مكرا ومكرنا مكرا وهم لا يشعرون. فانظر كيف كان عاقبة مكرهم أنا دمرناهم وقومهم أجمعين. فتلك بيوتهم خاوية بما ظلموا، إن في ذلك لآية لقوم يعلمون. وأنجينا الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون. ولوطا إذ قال لقومه أتأتون الفاحشة وأنتم تبصرون. أئنكم لتأتون الرجال شهوة من دون النساء بل أنتم قوم تجهلون. فما كان جواب قومه إلا أن قالوا أخرجوا آل لوط من قريتكم إنهم أناس يتطهرون. فأنجيناه وأهله إلا امرأته قدرناها من الغابرين. وأمطرنا عليهم مطرا فساء مطر المنذرين.
We're going through Surah An-Naml and today we're going to start from ayah number 45. And we mentioned in the previous lessons various stories of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, Bilqis and Fir'aun, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he guided some of the kings and queens, and how he destroyed one of the kings, meaning Fir'aun, when he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned before also, this is a Makki surah, and in Makki surahs, the trend is always from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he will talk about the greatness, his greatness, he will talk about the hereafter, he will talk about previous nations to warn the Meccans and the Mushrikeen, the polytheists, that they should stop what they're doing and start obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repent from the sins that they're committing. So today, two people or two nations will be discussed. One of them will be the people of Thamud and the other will be the people of Lut. And the story of Thamud basically is that Salih alayhi salatu wasalam was sent to them. The people of Thamud, they were very experienced in building houses. And they had a very unique quality. They had a very unique ability that they used to be able to carve mansions and palaces out of rocks. And this is something that nobody has ever done before and nobody could ever do again. This was how experienced they were. Now, this nation, they lived in what is now modern-day Saudi Arabia, in a place which is between Medina and Tabuk. And it is known as Al-Hijr, and also known amongst the Arabs as Madain Salih, meaning the cities of Salih alayhi salatu wasalam. And like I said, it is one of the places, it is in Saudi Arabia, and even the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he passed by there, and he instructed the Sahaba that because this is a place where the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came down, you should hurry up and do not linger around. Unfortunately, what we tend to do is, whenever we see ruins of places and palaces of people that have been destroyed, we tend to go sightseeing there and we tend to go with the intention of tourism, but the Prophet ﷺ, he instructed the Sahaba that you should run and rush away from these places in which the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came down. Also, while the Prophet ﷺ was there, he actually showed the Sahaba the places where the camel, the she-camel of Salih ﷺ, used to wander around, and he told them, this is the valley where the camel used to come through, and I'll talk about the camel in a minute, what is the story behind that. This is the valley in which the camel used to come through, this is the well from which the camel used to drink, and so on. And basically he told them all of the things that were related to the story of Salih alayhi salam and the she-camel. So the story actually goes that Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, he sent to people to guide them and to tell them that what they're doing is wrong, that they should not have arrogance because of their ability to build these beautiful mansions and palaces out of the rocks, but they should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be obedient to Him. So obviously, like all nations, they were skeptical of what Salih was telling them, and then ultimately they requested him to bring forth a miracle. And Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, he brought forth a miracle. What was that miracle? It was a she-camel, and some riwayat they say that she-camel actually came out when a rock in the mountain split up, and then that she-camel emerged. And not only that, that she-camel emerged and it gave birth to another camel after that. Okay, so these are certain riwayat which are not mentioned in the Quran, but there are nevertheless traditions that talk about these things. In any case, this she-camel, it was a huge, huge camel. And it was so huge that it needed the well for drinking by itself for one day. So Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, he told the people that one day you have to use the well for your animals, and one day this she-camel is going to use. So they agreed to do that, but then after a while they got frustrated. They said, why should we give up our water for this camel that has just emerged? And ultimately they decided to kill that camel. Okay, once they killed it, then the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came down. And basically we'll go through the story. All of that story is not mentioned here, but it is mentioned in other places in the Quran, like in Surah Al-Shams, in Surah Al-A'raf, etc. Surah Al-Shu'ara, also it's mentioned there. But that is the story of Salih alayhi salam and the people of Thamud and the she-camel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them as a miracle. So we're going to talk about that story first, and then the story of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam after that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا. Indeed, we sent to the people of Thamud their brother Salih. Their brother Salih indicates that Salih was from amongst them. Salih was from amongst them. And this is always the trend from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah sends a prophet that is from amongst those people so that he can explain to them in their language and using their terminology about Allah, to tell them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a clear and a distinct way. And another verse in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ. That whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a prophet to the people, it was always with the language of his people. Okay, so if you are basically giving da'wah to people who speak English, then you should be fluent in English. If you are giving da'wah in Spanish, you should be fluent in Spanish. If you are giving da'wah in Arabic, you should be fluent in Arabic. And if you are giving da'wah in Albanian, you should be fluent in Albanian. Okay? So this is the trend that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always, he did with the prophets. He sent people from amongst them. And that is what is meant here, that إِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا. He sent to the people of Thamud their brother Salih. And what was the message that he brought? أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. That you should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should worship Allah. This was the message that every prophet came with. It was simple. Worship Allah, don't worship anything else. And what happened? فَإِذَا هُمْ فَرِيقَانِ يَخْتَصِمُونَ. When Salih alayhi salatu wasalam started his invitation, two groups emerged from the people. One group obeyed Salih alayhi salam and became Muslim and did as he was telling them, and another group stood up in opposition. So now there were two groups, yakhtasimun, arguing with each other and disputing with each other. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ لِمَ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ قَبْلَ الْحَسَنَةِ لَوْلَا تَسْتَغْفِرُونَ اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Salih said to his people that, "O my people, why do you want to rush the sayyi'ah, meaning the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before the hasana, meaning before accepting iman?" Okay, so what the people did, they asked Salih that, "O Salih, if you are a prophet of Allah, look, we are not obeying you, we are disobeying you, why don't you tell Allah to send down the punishment?" So Salih said to them, "Why do you want to rush the sayyi'ah? Why do you want to rush the bad thing, meaning the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before accepting al-hasana, meaning accepting the good? لَوْلَا تَسْتَغْفِرُونَ اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Why is it that you don't seek Allah's forgiveness so that you can have the mercy done upon you, so that Allah can have mercy upon you? Make istighfar, seek Allah's forgiveness, ask Allah to forgive you, make tawbah, and Allah will forgive you, and He will have mercy upon you." So they responded, قَالُوا طَيَّرُنَا بِكَ وَبِمَنْ مَعَكَ. They said that we have done tatayyur. Tatayyur, it was, the word is from the word tayr, meaning bird. And this was common amongst the people of the Arabs, that they used to look at the birds, in which direction they're flying. And this is again something that Islam outlawed, to believe in good luck and bad luck. Okay, that if, you know, this is very common in this culture, that if a black cat crosses your path, it's supposed to be bad luck. Some people say good luck, some say bad luck. If you break a mirror, 7 years bad luck. Okay, and these are all aspects of shirk that we don't believe in. Everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't believe in this good luck and bad luck things. Okay, so they used to believe that if the birds are flying in a certain direction, when I look up in the morning, then I'm going to have a good day and I should proceed with what I'm trying to do. And if they are flying in the opposite direction, then I'm going to have a bad day. Therefore, I should go back home and not do what I intended to do. So this was why it was called tatayyur, meaning to look at birds. Okay? Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in a hadith, "La adwa wa la tiyarata wa la hamata wa la safar." There is no adwa and there is no tiyara. You're not supposed to believe in these things. So they said, "Tayyarna bika wa biman ma'ak." O Salih, we think that you and the people that are with you, they are bad luck. You know, you people are just bringing bad luck to us, and you should not be around us. قَالَ طَائِرُكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. The response was that your bad luck is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't bring bad luck, meaning everything good and bad is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should not think that we are the ones bringing you bad luck. بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ تُفْتَنُونَ. In fact, you are a people that have been put to trial, meaning you are in confusion and you are being put to a test by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are failing miserably. You are not believing the message that has been brought to you. وَكَانَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ تِسْعَةُ رَهْطٍ يُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا يُصْلِحُونَ. In the city of Thamud, there were nine groups that were causing corruption on the earth, and they were not being good, they were not being straight. Those nine groups, or nine individuals, nine leaders that were in charge of nine groups, they were causing corruption and they were not being good. They were not correcting themselves. And what did they say? They decided that they're going to, while Salih and his family are sleeping, they're going to try to kill them. This was what they decided. This is what the next verse says. قَالُوا تَقَاسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ لَنُبَيِّتَنَّهُ وَأَهْلَهُ ثُمَّ لَنَقُولَنَّ لِوَلِيِّهِ مَا شَهِدْنَا مَهْلِكَ أَهْلِ وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ. They said that all of you should take an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take an oath with each other. pledge allegiance with each other, all of you make a treaty with each other that you're going to, while they are sleeping, Salih and his family, you're going to destroy them, you're going to kill them. Thumma, then we will certainly say to his remaining family, liwaliyi, wali means the people who are remaining in the family, who are the inheritors and who will ask for blood money or who will ask for revenge, what will we say to them? We will say to their wali, ma shahidna mahlik, we didn't witness this destruction. We didn't witness this destruction. Why didn't we witness it? Because it happened in the dark. We didn't see who the killers were. Okay, even though the killers were amongst them, but because it is going to be done in the dark, we will not see each other, and we will tell the inheritors that no, we didn't see anything, because the truth, and that will be the truth, that we didn't see anything, okay, because it was dark. Ma shahidna mahlik, mahlik ahli, we didn't witness the destruction of his family. Wa inna la sadiqun, and indeed we are telling the truth. Okay, let's do the translation of that verse again. They said, take an oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or pledge allegiance to Allah, that you're going to destroy him and his family, then most certainly we will say to his inheritors that we did not witness the destruction of his family. Wa inna la sadiqun, and we are telling the truth. Okay, so this is what they decided, that during the night we're going to, for once and for all, we're going to get rid of Salih, we're going to kill him and his family. Now there are two stories related to this verse. Mujahid says that they took an oath that they're going to destroy Salih and his family. Okay, and when they set out to destroy him, when they set out to kill him, they basically were killed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them while they were on the way. Okay, so this is basically they set out and they said, we're going to kill him. Muhammad ibn Ishaq says that these nine that were mentioned in this ayah, they first of all, they killed the camel. They killed the camel first, and then afterwards they decided that they should also get rid of Salih alayhi salam and his family. And then what happened was that on the way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent angels to destroy them and peppered them with stones, and they were killed. Okay, so this is one story, that they, those people that tried to kill Salih and his family, they were killed by stones, and the remaining people that saw that what had happened, they also thought that, you know, Salih was the one who had killed them, and they wanted revenge. So in the meantime, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came down. The other story is related by Ibn Abi Hatim. He says that once they had killed the camel, Salih told them, تَمَتَّعُوا فِي دَارِكُمْ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامِ, that you have 3 more days before the punishment of Allah comes down. Okay, so whatever you want to do in those 3 days, you know, do whatever you need to do. Okay, benefit from those 3 days, because after that the punishment will come down. So when they heard this, they said, okay, we have 3 days. In the meantime, let's kill Salih, and, you know, before those 3 days come, with the intention of maybe that the punishment will stop if we kill Salih. So basically they tried that, and those people that came to kill Salih alayhi salam, they went to a place where Salih used to pray. It was in a valley somewhere. They were aware that he used to come and pray over there, and they hid in a cave. When they hid in a cave, a rock came and covered the mouth of the cave while they were inside, and they were destroyed inside. And then the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to the rest of the people, and they were destroyed also. Now, what was the punishment that was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There are different words used throughout the Quran. Some say it was a noise, a scream. Some say that it was like a thunderbolt. Okay, and various things that are mentioned in various verses. So those people that set out to kill Salih alayhi salam, they were destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those specifically, they were destroyed, and then generally the other people that were involved in the killing of the camel, meaning the rest of the people, because it was done by their approval. They were happy that the camel had been killed. Even though they personally were not involved in the killing, but because they approved of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed all of them. Okay? So Allah says, وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا وَمَكَرْنَا مَكْرًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They made plots, and we also made plots. Okay, so this is something, these kinds of verses, the Christians jump upon them. And they say that, look, your God, he says that I make evil plots against people. Okay, this is not what is meant over here. Okay, this is just how the Arabic language is used. This is the usage of the Arabic language, and this is common in some languages. Okay, for example, in the Indian and Pakistani culture, it's common that if you see your child playing outside when he's supposed to be doing his homework, you address him and say, okay, just wait there, I'm going to come out and play with you in a minute. Okay, what does that mean? You're not going to play with him, you're going to punish him. Okay, so this is the same terminology that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses, that they made a plot, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in response to that said that our plot was more stronger. We also made a plot against them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't make evil plots like an evil person, but this is in response to their plots, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I am going to respond to that with my revenge. And that was, the revenge was how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. So وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا وَمَكَرْنَا مَكْرًا. They made plots, and we also made plots. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. And they were not even aware of it. فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ مَكْرِهِمْ. Look, what was the outcome of their plots? What happened once they made those plots? How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish them? We've already heard that firstly, those people specifically that went out to kill Salih, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with them. And in general, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with everybody else was, أَنَّا دَمَّرْنَاهُمْ وَقَوْمَهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. That we annihilated them and all of their people that were involved in the killing of that she-camel. فَتِلْكَ بُيُوتُهُمْ خَاوِيَةً بِمَا ظَلَمُوا. Look, these are their houses, they are lying barren because of the dhulm that they did, because of the wrong that they did, because of the disobedience that they did. They were living amongst these mountains, they were living in these mansions, but because of that disobedience, you look and those same mansions, those same houses, they are lying barren and empty and uninhabited. This is because of their disobedience that they did. Inna fi dhalika la'ayatan liqawmi ya'lamun. Indeed, in this there is a sign for the people who have knowledge. What sign is it? The sign is there for all of us, that there is no guarantee that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment cannot come down to us at any time. We could be punished by Allah, and just like the houses of these people lie barren today, our houses could be lying barren tomorrow if we choose to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the punishment can come at any time. Previous nations that used to be superpowers, they used to be in charge of the whole world. They used to be controlling huge areas of land and countries, and those people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He chose to destroy them, they were also destroyed. Nothing can stop the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from coming down. And finally Allah says, وَأَنْجَيْنَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. The people that had iman, the people that had faith, Allah says that we saved them. And the reality was that those people had the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they had the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the story of the people of Thamud. Now going on to the people of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Lut was sent to a people who were basically involved in sexual gratification by perverted means, which is basically homosexuality. And this is something which is becoming acceptable in this day and age, and this is something that we really need to be thinking about, that how can something which is so perverted and so wrong, which has been criticized in the Bible, in the Torah, and in the Quran, how can it be gaining such acceptability and being created as something and portrayed as being something as completely normal? Even the public schools, they are displaying it and showing it as being some sort of alternative lifestyle. This is how they portray it. So to show that it is acceptable to have that kind of feeling, and it's a natural feeling to have that kind of feeling. And the explanation that's given is that people are genetically sometimes born with that kind of feeling. And that is a very outrageous kind of claim, that if people were genetically born with that kind of thing, then people would die out. They would not be able to procreate with wives. They could not have children. So those people, if they had a genetic disorder, they would die out. And other people, they say that it is something that is of an instinct that nobody can help. So this is also not a good explanation, because there are many things that people cannot help. There are people who are addicted to stealing, for example. They are known as kleptomaniacs. Okay, they cannot help stealing. It's in their psychology. They cannot help it. But that doesn't mean that it's justifiable for them to steal. There are some people who like setting things on fire. They're called pyromaniacs. Okay, but that doesn't justify them setting things on fire. Okay, so just because you have that feeling doesn't mean that that feeling is correct and that feeling is okay and acceptable. Okay, so if you have that feeling and if you have that inclination, but you control it with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking that it's wrong, then that thing, you will be rewarded for that, if you have that kind of inclination. And this is basically what happened to the people of Lut. They did not stop their inclinations, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He destroyed them. It is mentioned in the Bible that the place where these people used to live was called Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was the place where these people used to live. And according to the Talmud, in addition to Sodom and Gomorrah, there were four other cities that were in that particular area. And then when the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came down, that place was covered by what is known today as the Dead Sea. Okay, that Dead Sea, it has covered that whole area, which is the lowest sea level in the whole wide world. How did it become the lowest sea level? Maybe because of the punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to them. The punishment was that their whole village was taken by an angel and taken into the sky, turned upside down and thrown into the ground again. So that punishment, the throwing of the angel in of the village into the ground, maybe that resulted in that area becoming the lowest sea level in the whole world. Allah knows best. Okay, but in any case, this is the story of the people of Lut. It's mentioned in a few places in the Quran, and the lesson we learn from this is that if a person should not be following his sexual desires, there is only one way that a person is allowed to fulfill his sexual needs, and that is within the boundaries of marriage, halal marriage that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for all of us. And this was something right from the very beginning of time, when He created Adam and Hawa, Adam and Eve, He created for them the partners for each other. He made them husband and wife, and that has always been the natural way of procreating with each other, living with each other, and fulfilling each other's needs. And this is the thing that we need to encourage, and not encourage the fulfillment of needs outside the boundaries of marriage. Okay, so this is their story, and I'll just go through it very quickly, inshallah. وَلُوطًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ وَأَنْتُمْ تُبْصِرُونَ. Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, when he said to his people, meaning, remember Lut alayhi salam, when he said to his people, are you doing fahisha? Are you doing an evil act, a lewd act? وَأَنْتُمْ تُبْصِرُونَ, while you are fully aware that this is something wrong. Okay, a person is fully aware that what is going on is wrong, and he still does it, and this is what the people were doing. And he goes on to say, Lut alayhi salam says, أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ الرِّجَالَ شَهْوَةً مِّن دُونِ النِّسَاءِ. Are you coming to men shahwa, with desire, and not to women, meaning you're leaving the women and you're coming to men? This is something that is unacceptable. بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ تَجْهَلُونَ. In fact, you are a jahil people, you are an ignorant people, you're doing something which is completely wrong. فَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا أَخْرِجُوا آلَ لُوطٍ مِّن قَرْيَتِكُمْ. The response that his people had was that, get rid of the people of Lut from your village. Okay, these people, they are, you know, do-gooders. They're people that, you know, don't want to allow us to do what we want to do. In today's terminology, it's homophobic. These people are homophobic. Okay, that's a new word, that they are against homosexuality, as if it's wrong to be against something which is wrong. So, this is what they said. فَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا أَخْرِجُوا آلَ لُوطٍ مِّن قَرْيَتِكُمْ. The response of his people was that, get rid of the people of Lut, get rid of the family of Lut from your village. Why? إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَرُونَ. These people, they just prefer purity. They're so pure and clean. Okay, it's kind of sarcastic. They want to be so pure and clean. You know, we don't want such pure and clean people amongst us. You know, they're too clean for us. So let's get rid of them. So the result was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَأَهْلَهُ إِلَّا امْرَأَتَهُ قَدَّرْنَاهَا مِنَ الْغَابِنِينَ. So we saved him and his family. We saved Lut and his family, except his wife. The wife of Lut, she also approved of what the people of Lut were doing. She was basically on their side. And she also was destroyed amongst the, in the punishment that was given to them. And the punishment was two punishments, like I said. Firstly, the sky rained down with rocks. Rocks came down and showered upon them. And then after that, the angel came and took that whole village, turned it upside down, and smashed it into the ground. وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَطَرًا, Allah says, and we made it rain upon them. And that rain is not regular rain. The rain of rocks came down upon them. فَسَاءَ مَطَرُ الْمُنْذَرِينَ. How bad is the rain of those people that were warned? How bad was the rain of the people that were warned? Meaning that rain that came down in the form of rocks and destroyed them. According to biblical stories, the people, they were showered with, you know, brimstone, like lava. Hot brimstone came down, hot rocks came down and destroyed them. So similar to what the Quran also says. So there's one point that I just like to mention. What is the punishment for homosexuality? You know, during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there was no example of a person who engaged in that type of thing. It was really not common in the Arabian lands during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and there was never a case of this kind of thing being brought to the Prophet ﷺ. It never happened. The Quran only mentioned it because the Quran is obviously for the people until the Day of Judgment. Okay, so the fact is that people are going to come and they're going to engage in these kind of lewd activities. Prior to Muslims, prior to Islam coming, the Greeks were known to be engaging in that type of activity also, in addition to the people of Lut. So in any case, there was no specific thing that is mentioned in the riwayat in terms of what type of punishment should be given to the people who are engaging in this type of thing. But there are riwayat as to what the Sahaba had in terms of their opinions as to what should be given to them. It is mentioned that Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he said that the criminals should be killed with the sword and the dead bodies should not be buried, but they should be burned to ashes. This was the opinion of Ali radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he also had the same opinion. Umar and Uthman radiallahu anhu, they said that they should be taken into a dilapidated building, meaning a building that's about to fall down, and that building should be brought down upon them. Ibn Abbas, he had the opinion that they should be thrown down from the top of the highest building of the habitation and then stoned to death. Imam Shafi'i says that both the criminals involved in the sodomy should be killed. Now the word sodomy is from the word Sodom, meaning that place where the people used to live. So sodomy is that act of homosexuality. They should be killed, whether those people were married or unmarried. And according to Shi'bi, Zuhri, Malik and Ahmed, they should be stoned to death. And Sa'id ibn Musayyib, Ata, Hassan Basri, Ibrahim Nakhai, Sufyan Thawri and Awza'i, are of the opinion that the punishment is the same as for adultery. The punishment for adultery is, if a person is unmarried, then 100 lashes, and if a person is married, and of course the criteria will be the same for witnesses, then the person would be stoned to death if the person is married. Imam Abu Hanifa is of the opinion that the culprit should be punished in accordance with the circumstances of the crime, with an exemplary punishment. Exemplary, what is an exemplary punishment? So that people can take an example from it and not do the same thing once they see, wow, if this person is going to be punished this way, then I should not be engaging myself in that type of thing. And this is also an opinion of Imam Shafi'i to this effect. So these are the various opinions of the scholars regarding the punishment that is to be given to a person who is engaged in that type of thing. But like I said, there is no hard and fast hadith that talks about the specific punishment. Why? Because it never happened, it never actually happened during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So this was basically the story of two peoples, the people of Thamud, the people of Lut, and basically the purpose behind telling these stories to us and the people of Makkah was that you should start obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you should start worshipping Him, and if you do not, then the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can come down upon you, just like it came down upon the people that were before you. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.
أماماً أماماً جنوداً فداء عبد الكتائب ليوم النداء أعيدوا أعيدوا للحق صرحه ودكوا معاقل جنداً عداء